We're starting a little bit early, not early, we're starting on time today just because, right at the end, we have to kind of clear the room because it's the newcomer, it's that time of month again, we got the newcomer's lunch, and so we'll have to clear the room out. I want to make sure everyone got plenty of time to talk and discuss today. Let's see, where's my clicker? There we go. All right, I want to ask, this icebreaker question was really a selfish icebreaker question. I'm looking for new things to do. So anybody got anything good?
Costco.
Oh, man.
Nothing but the best.
That sounds pretty exciting. Free food, you know?
Top Golf?
So go buy yourself a Wagyu steak at DC Prime.
Okay, all right. My wife doesn't eat steak, but that's fine. She can have some salad.
I highly recommend for anyone for a special date the Red Fox Inn in Middleburg.
Red Fox Inn in Middleburg. Okay. All right.
It's very good, and it's one of the oldest operating restaurants in the United States.
Wow. Okay. There you go. Red Fox Inn.
We got a cheaper one. The Live and Dunk.
What do you find there? You dump stuff at the dump. That's a date. Okay, interesting. Tom, all right. We'll be checking in with you later. All right, so we're starting a new topic today. For a couple of weeks, and I almost hesitated to even touch on this topic because I know this is a topic, an area that none of us ever have problems in, and I thought, what's the point, really? But it's on that checklist of things I'm supposed to talk about, I think. I was about to make a joke, but I had to control myself with the jokes. Thank you, Mrs. Mike. So, you know, I think you know where we're going, but there is a key thing that we have in common in pretty much every relationship that we have, right? Every relationship, every activity, there is this key component that's very, very important, critical, which is why we call it a key. You know, if you think of, you can go to sports analogies, you know, this is something that's important between a quarterback and his team, between the coach and the quarterback. This is something that's really important between, say, a soldier in the field and they're commanding officers, or even between soldiers in the field, or, you know, if you want to go more domestic, right, between two dancers, you might not think of that necessarily, between two people, you know, dancing. There are all kinds of, you know, parents to children, us to God, God to us, and of course, husband to wife. And what do you think that key thing is?
Communication.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a key. It's a key to our survival. It's a key to revelation. It's how we learn things. It's how God reveals Himself to us in the most complete way. Right, is through the Word, through communicating. Even His communication through His creation is communication. Right, Scripture tells us that the creation actually speaks. It's how we are. We can make ourselves known to another person, right? And it's how we can know another person. All those things happen through communication. It also is the number one, hands down, winner, number one problem, challenge in marriage. And it's probably, I think, like after that, I can't remember what, if it's finances or children or parenting, whatever. But I would even tell you that most of those other ones that come in second, third, fourth place, the real problem is actually not those things. The real problem is the way that they're talking about those things. So even in those lesser issues, communication plays a huge role in it. We were designed as human beings by God to send and receive communication, right? Through our senses, the fact that we can speak, the gift of language, all of those things were designed into us so that we can communicate with one another. So it's huge. And when that communication is broken, something needs to be done. Really, when anything is broken. So I brought my little walkie-talkie. I actually have two of them here, my handheld radios that I take to Brazil when we go on missions trips, so that we can communicate with each other when we're, you know, a little distance apart. These are really handy when you're at camp But you know, if this thing's not working, if I turn this on and say if I had, you know, if Patricia had one of these,
here, I'll just give you, you can hang on this. If she had one of these, you know, and I turned it on and I
started talking into it, and you know, either there wasn't, you know, I wasn't hearing anything, or she wasn't hearing me, or I wasn't getting messages back, or there was, you know, static, or all of a sudden I start hearing other people's voices coming through this thing that aren't supposed to be, you know, I'm supposed to be talking to her. She's the only other one with the radio. Why do I hear, you know, truckers talking or whatever on my radio? If there's something wrong with it, there's something that I need to do. And it's something that with anything that we have, any piece of equipment, any system, when it's not working, there's something that we do. What is the thing that we do? Okay, now.
Bang on it.
Yes, get a hammer. If that doesn't work, get a bigger hammer. There's a term for it. Somebody said diagnose, but there's assessing. Thank you. Troubleshooting. Yeah, that's the term we use, troubleshooting. Well, all of us do it, right? Some of us are a little less methodical in how we do it. Some of us, you know, immediately go to the hammer. It can be something, you know, as simple as trying some solutions, right? Turn it off, turn it back on again. I worked at a company in Herndon a long time ago, and the guy who was our IT manager was a guy named Renato, and there was a sign on Renato's door, and it said, it was a big sign, and it said, retry, reboot, Renato. Right? And so the idea was, like, if you were to show up at his door, you stood there and you had to say, okay, have I done these first two things before I knock? Because if I didn't, I'm going to catch it from Renato, because he's going to ask me, right? You know, we all do it. When a system is broken, when a thing is broken, you know, we pick it up, we look at it from all sides, you know, we want to see what's the matter with it. And the idea is, if you're doing troubleshooting in a way that's systematic, which is really what it's a systematic evaluation of a problem to find the cause of the problem, so that then, after troubleshooting, then you can start looking at solutions to the problem. But the first thing is you got to find out what the problem is. And some of us are not very systematic about it, like I said, because the idea is you're supposed to start with the simple things, like this is not turned on, so I need to turn it on. Power on, 3. I guess I'm on the right channel. And then I'd want to see, probably, if Patricia's was on as well and on the same channel. So you start with the simple, and then you move to the more complex until you find the problem so that you can come up with a solution for the problem. The challenge in marriage, right, because marriage, in a way, is a system, the problem is that it's actually the combination of two systems and two extremely complex systems, right? And also two systems that in addition to being complex, they're not static. They're two systems that move and change, and from even one moment to the next, and certainly over the course of years, those systems change. They're two systems that the integration of those two systems trying to work together is challenging, because there's deep emotional and spiritual and physical connections and expectations and all those kinds of things between the two systems. And so all of that creates a really challenging environment to do troubleshooting in. A very challenging environment. And then you add on top of that that each of these two subsystems, right, the husband and the wife, don't even really understand themselves completely. Right? You know, half the time I need a translator for what I'm thinking in my own head, right? I think I want something, but it turns out the thing that I thought I wanted isn't actually what I want, right? So there's all of that confusion, which adds complexity to the situation as well. And so I might say something to my wife, and I think that I mean what I'm saying, but in reality, there's something else that I don't even understand that's behind what I'm saying. You guys get the picture. It's complicated. It's complicated. But it's got to be done, right? It's got to be done. Because either you value the relationship, and the relationship needs good communication, or you don't. Right, so you know, if you got up, I get up in the morning and I usually make toast and coffee for the two of us before Tracy comes down. So if you were to get up in the morning, if I were to put my toast in the toaster and push it down, and then go back a little bit later and it's up, but it's still the same cold, untoasted toast that I had before, I wouldn't just pull my toast out and throw it on a plate and be like, "Yep, Okay, I guess the toaster's doing something different today. You know, that's okay. We'll just keep going on. Right? Or if I got on my Netflix and I turned my Netflix on and it wasn't connecting, or if, you know, I wouldn't just go, oh, you know, I'm paying for Netflix and it's not turning on. Oh, well, I'll just go to Hulu. Or, you know what, I'll watch something on YouTube instead. No, right? Something of such little value, a couple pieces of toast or my Netflix, extremely low value. And yet I would spend a good amount of time trying to troubleshoot those things because they have some value. So if those things have some value, right? You know, Scripture says, you know, for where your treasure is, there your heart is also. Do you value your marriage more than your Netflix, your toaster, your coffee? You name the thing that you would spend a lot of time trying to figure out. We have to value it to the point where we decide that we're gonna work on it. If it doesn't work, right? If there's the opposite of if it ain't broke, don't fix it, right? You know that one. Well, if it is broke, then you need to fix it. If it's not, even if it's not maybe completely broken, maybe it's just malfunctioning, you need to fix it. We had for several weeks, for a long time, our internet in our house has been fantastic. It's great, you know, and even through COVID, you know, we're working from home. We got all these different devices on there, and it has been working great. But then a few months ago, it would start to like just shut off every couple of hours and for no reason, and then it would come back up, and just about the time we were getting frustrated, it would come back up. We'd go, oh, okay, fine. And we just forget about it, keep working. It did that for a while. Then a couple of weeks ago, it just was like, it was maybe would come on every couple of hours for a few minutes. And it was really bad. And it was at that point that we decided we got to do something. And when I called the internet service provider and I explained the situation to them, you know, she was like, well, let me try a few things on your router. Let me try. And I said, no, I said, I don't think you understand. Our router is the original router that we've had since we, you know, for the last, whatever, 5-6 years. This router is clearly obsolete. I think we need a new router. She's, oh, let me look at it. After about 2 minutes of her doing an analysis, she came back and she said, yeah, you need a new router, right? And I said, should I bring this one back? She's like, no, we don't want that. Your router is ancient and, yeah. So we had to replace. But the idea there is, you know, really, you know, it wasn't working. At least not consistently, and we needed to replace it. We probably should have replaced it many months ago when it first started having its issues. You guys remember the question here is, how do you know when you need to troubleshoot? How do you know when it's not what it should be, right? You guys know the comedian Jeff Foxworthy, right? You might be a redneck. Okay, it's sort of along those lines, right? I'm going to say some things, and if any of these things are true, you might need to troubleshoot, right? You might be a redneck. But sort of along those lines, right? Do you guys have the same disagreements about the same things over and over and over and over again without ever actually resolving them? If that's true, you might need to troubleshoot. Do you or your spouse, or maybe both of you and or your spouse, react badly to what should be sort of mundane conversations or non-threatening questions, right? Do you react badly to those things? If you do, you might need to troubleshoot, right? Here's one. Is your communication frequently characterized by any of these things? Passive-aggressive statements, sarcasm. I think I need to troubleshoot. Blame shifting, anger, the silent treatment. If any of those things are true, you may need to troubleshoot. I think the fact is a lot of us probably should be troubleshooting from time to time anyway, just as a part of our normal marriage maintenance, might be a good idea. And I want to put something up here. Psalm 19:14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. The first part of that, may the words of my mouth, and if that's my prayer, and it should be, then I should be in a regular rhythm of troubleshooting my communication. If I want the words of my mouth to be pleasing in God's sight, if I want my communication, whether that's with my wife, but that's where it begins, I think that's the most important, then I need to be in a mode of troubleshooting and being aware and paying attention to those things in my life. So how do we do it? How do we troubleshoot? Now, you know, I know how to troubleshoot a radio if it's not working. So how do we troubleshoot our communication? I want to go through a few things that will help us along the way. And then we'll get a good amount of time to talk about these things. So we start with the most, you know, the ease, like I said, right? If, you know, we need to turn this thing on.
Power on. 4.
Oh, now I'm on channel 4. Okay. How did that happen? I don't even know. But, okay. I said I knew how to troubleshoot one of these things. Maybe that's not even entirely true. You know, the question is, are you communicating at all? That's a good place to start. Are you actually, is there back and forth happening? Or have one or the other of you sort of let the batteries die on your communication system or turned it off? Maybe there's a lot of communication going one way, but nothing coming back the other way. Maybe it's a user error, right? So if I turn this thing on, and when I'm training people to use these in Brazil, they do this. They'll press, I say, you got to press the button down to talk. And they'll press the button down to talk, and they'll not let go of the button. They'll just hang on to that thing. And they'll be like, I don't hear anything. I don't hear anything coming back. Like, well, you got to let go of the button. You got to let the other person speak, right? So there could be user error involved. How long, you know, ask yourself, how long has it been since the last time I heard anything coming back across the radio from my spouse? Maybe I'm not listening. Maybe I'm not taking my finger off the button. Maybe I just like to hear myself speak. You know, I talk a lot. As you know, you're probably all shocked. I talk a lot. And if I am not careful, I will talk and talk and talk and talk without ever stopping and saying, how are you? And what do you think about that? What do you feel about this or that or the other thing? Or what's been on your mind lately? Instead of me driving always driving the agenda, what's on your heart? What's happening with you? And then don't put my finger back on that button. Just sit and wait and listen. You know, there's a talk show host that, well, you guys might guess who it is when I say this. I won't use his name, but that I don't watch anymore because it was so annoying to me that he would have these wonderful guests on. These super intelligent, like high-powered guests would come onto his show, and he would talk and basically tell everybody what his opinion is on whatever it is. And he would talk and talk and talk and talk, and then he would stop and he would look at his guest, this genius person, and he would say, "Do you agree with me?" And then they might say a couple of things, and then he would jump in again, and he would, "Do you agree with that? Or what do you think about what I just said?" You know, and I'm like, I don't want to listen to you. I want to, you know. So again, that's an easy one to check. Like, am I talking too much? Am I not hearing anything coming back the other way? Is there user error? You know, is one of the other of you, you know, spiritually or emotionally or physically struggling? Because that will affect, when you pick it up and you look at it and you go, what's the problem? It could be a spiritual issue. It could be a physical issue. It could be an emotional issue with one or the other of you that's causing this breakdown in communication. I know for me, you know, Luke 6:45, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So maybe there's a heart problem, right? Maybe my communion with the Lord, maybe my fellowship with Christ is suffering, because I know for a fact, like if I go, you know, I have this whole thing, you guys probably heard me say this before, if I go a day without spending time with the Lord, I know it. If I spend 2 days without spending time with the Lord, my wife knows it. 3 days, my kids are knowing it now, and if I go a week, you all will know it, right? Because it's going to come out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, and it's going to affect everything about me. So again, it's just another thing, right? Is this thing turned on? Is there a user? Am I using it correctly? Or is there something amiss here? You're just picking it up, and you're looking at it from every angle that you can look at it. So that's one. Is this thing on? Are we on the same channel? Or did it miraculously switch to channel 4 somehow or another? You know, you've heard this statement. My wife and I, my husband and I, we're not on the same wavelength. We're on different wavelengths. So that's the same question. Maybe you're on a different wavelength. And it could be a style wavelength, a communication style wavelength. It could be a personality wavelength. It could be a temperament wavelength. It could be a frequency, right? It could be this. You could, you know, I'm a facts person. You know, she's an emotions person. I'm assertive and he's passive. I'm an optimist and she's a... She would say a realist. All right? Okay. So it could be that. It could be that you're not, you know, you're on two different frequencies. And so you're talking and you're hearing some noise, but you're not really understanding what the other person's saying. And that's going to cause problems. And maybe you were. Maybe at one point in your relationship, you were on the same frequency. And you were like, man, we were just right there. But then, you know, you had, you know, frequency drift. One of you turned the radio to channel 4. It's supposed to be on 3, right? And that can happen over time. And it doesn't mean, and I'll just say this, and, you know, that's, the metaphor breaks down. Obviously, everyone does, every metaphor does break down. But, you know, if you've got different communication styles, it's not necessarily that you need to, well, you need, you know, we both need to have the same communication style. That's not really it. But we do need to know how to interpret each other's communication style. We need to know what the other's is, and so that when we hear things, it passes through this filter, and we go, you know, okay, I understand where she's coming from, I understand where he's coming from, and I can take what they say, and I can interpret it into the frequency that I can understand, and vice versa. And it might be that I need to, knowing her frequency, that I may need to adjust the way that I talk. Right? It's not just interpreting, but sometimes it's, I need to learn how to speak that language. I need to be able to speak on that frequency if I want to get my message across to her. So there's a knowledge piece of it. So maybe you're on a different value frequency, and that can happen over time. Because if your values are out of sync, so one of the things we do in premarital counseling is that we, you know, there's like a whole list of sort of values, and we look down there and based on the person's you know, the couple's answering some questions in an assessment, it'll pull up and it'll say what their values are. And the more in line those values are, the greater momentum going into marriage that that couple has. The less in sync they are, the bigger the problems. Okay, so if your values are out of sync, the communication will be out of sync. And just as an example, is I am a dreamer and a verbal processor. Like, I know that about myself. And Patricia is not. She is a pragmatist and a realist. Right, and she's brilliant at logistics and getting things done. And early on in our marriage, and if you've been here for any length of time, probably heard me say this, tell the story before. But you know, I would have a dream, right? I'd have this grand vision, and I would start to, like, you know, verbally process it. I wasn't that I really was sold on this idea yet, or that I was going in this direction, or anything. It came into my head, and if it's in my head, I got to put it out here so that I can hear it, and I can decide what I'm going to do with it. As opposed to some of you, I know, are internal processors, and so you sit there and you have an idea, and then you get quiet for a long time while you process that idea, and then you don't speak until that idea is fully processed and digested and is ready for the real world. Not me. It's just out there. And so I would do that with Patricia, and she would immediately shift into logistics and execution mode. She'd be like, okay, so we're starting a business in Africa. All right, so let's see. I need to sell the house. I need to get the kids ready. I need to learn how to speak Swahili. And, you know, I mean, like, immediately her mind is going there. And then I would change direction. And she'd be like, what the heck? So I needed to learn and understand that I can't do that with her unless I caveat it with, hey, babe, this is just me. Just don't even really. And then she'll say, okay, I know I don't need to actually pay attention to this. So, and then we'll go. So again, it's frequency. It's understanding each other's frequency. So that's a big question. Like, are we on the same channel? How about this one? Are we out of range? You know, these radios are great. These ones are actually pretty powerful. But even these, at some point, if I keep walking in a different direction, even if she stays put, if I keep walking away, eventually the signal's going to die and we're not going to be able to talk to each other. It'll happen faster if she's also walking in the other direction, obviously, because it's creating distance between the two of us. How does that translate to what we're doing in our marriage, right? Is our friendship, is our soul-to-soul, so to speak, relationship, is it struggling? Is there distance, is there become distance, is there grown distance between us? Right? If you're always going in different directions, you're so busy that you're everybody, you know, you're going this way, she's going that way, there's the kids, there's work, you don't have any shared interests anymore, there's no quality time together anymore because it's go. And this is a big risk around here. I know I've said this lots of times, Northern Virginia, the rat race, it's a real thing, and it'll create distance between the two of you. And so maybe that's the problem. Maybe your radios are out of range. And you might think, well, yeah, but we're in the same. You can be out of range and be 3 feet away from each other. That's the difference between this and this. You know, Patricia and I, when we lived in Brazil, about the middle, we were there for 7 years, and about the middle 3 years, we were living in a tiny little house. You couldn't get more close. You couldn't get more in range physically. And yet, we were completely out of range emotionally and in our communication. So we were communicating. We thought we were, you know, I thought, she thought we were communicating what we were feeling about things and what we were thinking about things and what was important and what wasn't important, all this. We thought we were communicating those really, really well. But the only thing that was coming through the other side to the other person was static. You know, every once in a while, a little word here and there. We were just completely out of range. And there's lots of reasons it can happen. I listed some of them, but that's as you're doing your troubleshooting, that's a good question to ask. Are we out of range of each other? We won't get to fixing it yet, because remember, you have to troubleshoot first, then you come up with solutions. Right? Scripture tells us that we are to delight in the wife, but I think it's probably more actually delight in the spouse of your youth. Right? We're to delight in one another. So that the biblical troubleshooting and the question there would be, am I delighting? Are we delighting in one another? Are we enjoying one another still? Or has there become a distance between us that's put our communication out of range? So that's a question. Are we out of range? Is there interference? Right? Maybe something has come between us. Maybe something has come between us that's compromised our communication. That could be unconfessed sin. It could be an offense that we've, you know, something that we've done that has offended our spouse that's caused interference in our communication. It could be some kind of a trauma that one or the other is suffering. It could be other voices. Remember I said, you know, you turn the radio. Has this ever happened to you guys with handheld radios? You turn it on, you're talking to somebody that you're supposed to be talking to, the next thing you know, hey, good buddy, this is Rhymer 99%. Right? And you're like, who is that? You know, I don't even know who that is. So, you know, and in our marriages, there can be other voices that come in, whether they're voices at work, voices in our friend groups, that can start to create some interference between this communication here. You know, if you think a good way to think about it, you know, the Bible is very clear that communication between us and the Lord is very much affected by sin, unconfessed sin. We all sin, but there's sin and then there's unconfessed sin. And God is pretty clear that, listen, your unconfessed sin creates interference between our communication. And he says, actually, I don't hear you. He doesn't mean that he doesn't hear us. He hears us. It's that I'm not going to communicate with you. I'm not going to, you know, I can hear you. You're talking over there. But until you get that taken care of, you know, we need to make our relationship right. And then we can have good communication again. And so I would say the same thing is true in our marriages, is that if there is some unconfessed sin or some offense between us that hasn't been taken care of, that hasn't been forgiven, it's going to make our communication challenging. There's going to be interference, right? If we've damaged the receiver of our spouse, right? If we've damaged their receiver is not going to pick up the signals that we're sending. You know, when our spouse is struggling with a trauma or a trial in silence, right, they might not be able to send clearly or receive clearly. And so, it's not to say that's it. It might be. And so that's another thing to check, is to say, is there something going on in you, to your spouse? Is there something going on? Have I offended you? Or is there something that you're struggling with that's causing us to have this interference in our communication? Again, ready? You're turning it over. You're looking at it from every angle. Finally, and this is where, remember I said we go to the more complex. Broken equipment. This is the complicated stuff. Like, I can tell you, like, oh, I can turn it on. Is it turned on? Yeah. Is it on the right channel? Yes, no. Are we within the range we're supposed to be? Yeah. Is there some other, you know, static or interference on here? Well, let's switch to a different channel so we're not hearing those other voices. All of that's fairly simple. If I get through all of that and I haven't found the issue yet, you know, I've put it on the charger, right? I've done all that stuff. Like, is it charged? Yeah, it's charged. It turns on. If there's something wrong inside this thing, I don't even know how to open it. You know, that's a bigger issue. If the equipment itself is actually, if something happened in here and it's actually broken, that's a bigger issue. So in our marriage, what could that be? You know, it could be anger, contempt, bitterness, self-righteousness, selfishness, right? These conditions of the heart, these conditions of the heart that require a deeper dive, that require things like a long, humble look into the mirror of Scripture, like James says, right? We look into Scripture, we look into the perfect law, and allow that to diagnose our issues, right? God's word is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It's able to divide between soul and spirit, right? Thoughts, intentions of the heart. You know, if it's one of those kinds of issues, it's going to require that. You know, the psalmist says that we should consider our ways. You know, I've considered my ways and I've turned my feet. So he's considered his ways and found that there's something wrong. And then he's turned his feet. And then doesn't delay, turns his feet to God's testimonies. And so some of those issues, if that's what's going on, if we're having these communication issues over and over and over again, it may be that I have a selfish heart. I know I have a selfish heart, but it may be that I have a selfish heart that I'm not addressing on a regular basis. I could have an anger issue, right? I could be filled with bitterness over something that happened a long time ago. Or maybe something that didn't even involve my spouse. You know, maybe I'm bitter about something that happened to me in my childhood and I'm hanging on to it. I'm not letting it go, and that's affecting my communication. So all of those things require a deeper dive. That's some broken equipment. And frankly, it may be, you know, so when something goes wrong in my car or my house, right, the first thing I do now, I used to look at it and go, do I know anything about this? No. Okay, let's call a professional. Now it's, do I know anything about this? No. Let me check YouTube and see, maybe I can figure this out. And so I'll go on like the DIY, you know, YouTube channels, and I'll like, I'm looking at it. And sometimes I get in there and I start to mess around and I realize that I'm making it worse. I'm making a mess. You know, there are things that you can find out, like for your health, for example, right? Let's use that as a good place to start. You know, like if I'm feeling badly, if I'm not feeling well, I'm not feeling like on top of my game, I might go in and I'll look like, is there some vitamin that I'm missing? Are my protein levels off? Is my diet, you know, can I change something in my diet? You know, am I getting the right kind of exercise? Should I do some different kinds of exercise, more cardio, less cardio, weights, blah, blah, blah. Like there's those things that I can get to. If after all of that, I realize that I need heart surgery, I am not going to the YouTube, okay? And I'm not letting Patricia go to the YouTube either. She's like, no, honey, I've got this. Just let me watch. Here, get out the Cutco knives. This is going to be great. No, we're not going there. So the point is that some of these things, you know, are going to require somebody in the body of Christ that can walk alongside you when you do your heart exam. And so that's where like environments like this, where we're in community with each other, and so that we can help each other, we can walk alongside each other, and there shouldn't be any shame in that. Honestly, because if there's one thing that's true about all of us is that we're all sinners. If there's another thing that's true about all of us is that at some point in our lives, we're all sufferers. We all suffer in some way. It's just it's a fact of human life. And we're called to help each other, to bear burdens, to counsel one another. So if you get to that point, right, you may realize that there's some serious equipment broken and you might need to have some assistance as you do that deeper dive in Scripture. So, as we close today and we get into conversation, we're good on our time. So, I would just say a couple of tips as you're doing your troubleshooting, and this will be the end. First one, look at yourself first. So, the troubleshooting can be delicate because sometimes when we're troubleshooting communication with our spouse, we might have the tendency to sit down and be like, well, let me tell you, I think I know what it is, and it's you. Right? I could tell, here are the five things that you're doing that are wrong. If you could fix those, man, we'll have some great communication. So, again, using Scripture as your guide, remove the log from your own eye. Right? Start with yourself before you try to get the speck out of your spouse's eye. Invite your spouse in. So sometimes, you know, obviously you guys are all here as couples, hearing this together as couples, so it's kind of an easy, natural thing. Like, hey, great, let's talk about it now. If you weren't, at some time in the future, if you realize, oh my, I think we need to troubleshoot again, and one of the other has to initiate that conversation, do it as way of an invitation. Right? It's a humble invitation. I feel like I feel like I'm not hearing you well, and I want to. I feel like maybe I'm not communicating well with you, and I would like to. Can we sit down? Can we talk about this? Can we go through some things and try to figure out what's going wrong so we can reconnect? And then finally, I would just say, you know, if you find, again, that you find that the system is so compromised that you can't unravel it, you know, you don't know what to do once you get into this thing, you're not sure, you're confused, get some help. Get some help. And now, again, as I'm going to pray for us, we're going to do some announcements that you guys are going to have some time to discuss. You all should have your discussion questions actually on your tables. There's a place on the back of that for some notes. And keep in mind, this is step one. Troubleshooting, you know, I could go like, aha, I figured it out. It needs to be charged, right? And then I just keep trying to use it. And I never put it on the charger. Okay, it's kind of a waste of time troubleshooting if I'm not going to actually try to fix the thing that I found wrong. So this is step one. Next week we're going to get into some scripture and some biblical guidance on how do we address some of these things that we will undoubtedly encounter when we do our troubleshooting. So let me pray for us, and then we'll jump into announcements and discussion. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift that it is to be able to gather together as your people, to grow in Christ-likeness together as couples, to encourage and exhort one another. Father, we thank you for this family that you've placed us in, this new family in your new creation. We're thankful for it. We're thankful for Jesus. We're thankful for the Spirit that lives within us that empowers us to be able to even do appropriate troubleshooting of our marriages. Lord, we are completely and utterly dependent on you and your power, your strength. Apart from you, we can do nothing. And so we do ask, God, that even now as we have our discussion, Lord, that your Spirit would have his way in us and you would be pleased with our conversation, and that it would be edifying to each of us as we continue to walk with you and be transformed and conformed into the image of your Son. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.